You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
What is up, Notre Dame fans? Mike Singer, Mike Goolsbee. It's this week's Mike Goolsbee Show. Appreciate everyone tuning in live with us, watching back, listening via podcast. Now, for those folks listening via podcast, you don't get to see what's happened here. Mike and I are matching. Was this planned, hey, Mike?
Definitely not planned.
What are the other?
But we look good. Right, we look all right.
Yeah, yeah. But Mr. Goolsbee, let's dive into it. Notre Dame 35, Clemson 14. You were there.
Yeah, man.
What was that game atmosphere like?
I was there, and more importantly, 2 weeks prior, I predicted the Clemson win. I predicted the Clemson, or we'd beat Clemson prior to even playing Syracuse. And I was fortunate enough to go, was fortunate enough to be on the field prior to the game, which was an interesting added dynamic. And we'll probably talk about that, but it was a wacky day, man. Wacky weather. There was raining on and off. The wind was consistent. And I do think that the wind played a big factor into the game, into our victory. But it was, I'll say this, Mike. I was there with a customer, you know, who's also a friend. And I was watching the game with a critical eye. More so than as a fan, right? I mean, I was basically watching with my arms folded the whole time. I just kept remarking to Tim, my buddy, I'm like, I'm in shock. The whole time I was like, I'm in shock that Clemson didn't put up a bigger fight. I was shocked at the level of just sheer dominance. Like, we beat that ass. And I was like, it was just like consistent. I mean, we played more physical in the second half than we did the first half. To finish out the game. And it was almost like we did the impossible in terms of, like, there's no way we're going to be able to consistently pound the rock 200, 250 plus yards, you know, without much of a quarterback. And then you add the added element of the wind versus their strong arm quarterback. It's like, man, I don't know how we're going to pull this off. The punt block.
Yeah.
We had, you know, five punt blocks going into the game. Man, is that sustainable? Is that kind of fluky? And turns out, at least for this, you know, week, as it were, it was sustainable. It's one of those rare instances where it's a true beatdown in all three facets of the game. And that was my biggest takeaway, was the weather, the wind. And just, I was in maybe not shock, Mike, maybe I was in awe is a better word. I was in awe of our performance, start to finish. The environment was phenomenal. I can't gauge how loud it was, because, you know, you don't really get the true sense as if you're not on the field, the way that, you know, these stadiums are kind of built. But it was a dynamic atmosphere, and I need to go to more games, Mike.
Yeah. What's the last game you were at?
Oh, I know I was at the Notre Dame Oklahoma game years and years ago, and there was one in between there, but I don't recall the specific game. Forgive me. Got CTE over here, folks. So, yeah, but I go back every, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 years, it feels like. I was back for the spring game, obviously, but
right. Yeah. Well, folks, appreciate you joining live, watching back. You podcast folks, appreciate you as well. Please do hit the thumbs up. on our YouTube channel or our YouTube video. And of course, subscribe to our channel for more content. You can drop a super chat if you have any questions you want Goolsby or myself, or even both, if you're lucky, to answer. And head over to blueandgold.com. That promo is $10, gets you access through the start of next football season. Head over to blueandgold.com for more details on that. Truly is the best website to get your Notre Dame fix. So yeah, we would love to have you join us over there on the website. So when you were kind of talking about the surprise factor, I had the same exact thought. I tweeted this out during the game. I seriously can't believe what I've watched in this game tonight. I was stunned. Mike, I remember the Stanford game afterwards. I was like, what the hell did I just watch? I cannot believe what I saw. This is the opposite end. It's like, what the hell did I just watch? Notre Dame just beat the crap out of Clemson. What impressed you most on the night?
We'll start here, and we'll probably bounce all over the place per usual.
Of course.
But, yeah, I got a pregame sideline pass, and in years past, you pretty much had full access. You could kind of run laps around the outside of the field, and they would send you to your seats after kickoff. So they've done it differently, where they kind of situate you in a corner. So I was in the southeast corner on the field watching. I was on Clemson's side watching them warm up. And it was the first time that occurred to me, as like, we look better in pads than Clemson, which is a huge sign of like, a huge reason for optimism. Like, we looked like better athletes, cleaner athletes, higher asses, bigger hamstrings, thinner ankles. Like, we just looked better in pads. So that was a huge takeaway for me, because I think, and shame on me, that I've sort of, and maybe other Notre Dame fans could lump themselves into this group, but I'd always looked at Clemson categorically as a team with elite athleticism, you know, lumped in with like an Ohio State, a Georgia, Bama, you know, top tier group. And looking at them physically, I was like, we look better. Mm-hmm. We have better athletes. We've got a Coach Bayless in the strength program. Kudos to him, and kudos to the kids for putting in the work in terms of dieting and training. So that was my biggest takeaway. And then when you jump into the game, you know, that physical stature, I guess, came to the forefront. So that was really my biggest takeaway, was just a level of dominance. I know the offensive line gets a ton of credit, and rightfully so, absolutely. And the running backs played incredible. I'm a defensive guy. I mean, I thought that the defense, for the longest time, I mean, for the majority of the first half, really gave us a place to stand, as we continued to just lean on them and lean on them. And over time, you wore them down. But that was probably my biggest surprise. And this goes back to that conversation about talking about the athletes. Mike, you know, we've been doing this for, this is our third year now. We always come out of these, or tend to come out of these marquee matchups, like, man, we need corners. Yep. We need receivers. And it's like, shoot, dude, like, we've got corners.
Dude,
I mean, you look at Cam Hart and Benjamin Morrison, and I'm not knocking Mickey or Jaden Mickey or Lewis at all. But like, we've got dudes out there now that can run and cover. So it's like, we might, you know, start to check that box. So it was like, maybe the tides are kind of turning, you know. And it was funny, like, Clemson to me, man, just isn't what we thought they were, what I thought they were.
Yeah.
In terms of the athletes, talking to some fans, I sat next to a couple, shout out to Sean and Rachel. They live in Alabama. Sean's a diehard, lifelong Notre Dame fan. Rachel went to South Carolina, University of, and she's like, Clemson doesn't play anybody. She's like, I'm not surprised. They don't play anybody. So it's like, Bama lost the same day. Clemson lost. Are we starting to see maybe a changing of the guard in college football? It's maybe a little premature to say that, but
Georgia's coming up. I mean, obviously.
Georgia's coming up. Tennessee's coming up. Michigan's there. You know, USC's kind of down, maybe finding their way still, but just a lot of reason for optimism. And like I said, I just feel like we kind of did the unthinkable, ran into the teeth of a defense for four quarters, played your ass off on both sides of the ball. And just, you know, good for those kids. And that's like, you know, like I started to get into the press conferences, like where Marcus Freeman came out on Monday. He's like, my team's ready. And it's like, I really believe that Marcus Freeman's really starting to own this thing. And, you know, I think I said it was last week or the prior week that, like, coming into Notre Dame and feeling out the vibe, he's been a little bit like PG or even like G rated. And I feel like he's starting to be a little bit more aggressive or considerably more aggressive on the sidelines. He's more confident in the press conferences. And I think that the team's starting to really reflect that. And I want to talk about senior leadership. Is it the senior leadership has figured out to lead underneath Coach Freeman? Or is it these youngsters are starting to kind of dip their toe into that leadership pond, as it were? But yeah, this is fun. This is fun. And like I said, I was grateful to be a part of that. And also shout out to, a few dozen folks come up and want to take pictures and say, I love the podcast. And I'm like, man, it means a lot, especially to you, Mike. I mean, we started this thing just kind of out of the blue, and it's cool that people are watching. So I appreciate those that came up and
Patrick
dapped me up.
Patrick says, thanks for taking a pic with me. Some guy, it might have been Patrick, sent me a DM on Twitter and was like, hey, got to meet Goosby, sent a picture of you guys. So
that's great, dude. I was talking to guys at the urinal, you know, and it wasn't weird at all, you know.
Oh, that's awesome. Love it. What a great deal that we get to do this, and this is just it's so cool. We enjoy this. Man. So, Mike, we want to get to all of your thoughts in the game, and I kind of hope that they mesh in with what people are asking, because we got plenty of super chats here. So let's just go through these, and of course, you drop one of these, we'll dive into it. Joey, big fan of the show, says, does Drew Pine get another participation trophy, or does he? Did you see that he got the game ball offensively? And Joey's reading out listening to stats, 9-17, 85 yards, had the touchdown, then, you know, the rushing touchdown as well. I don't think we're going to spend a ton of time talking about Pine today, but do you want to go ahead and address Notre Dame's quarterback?
I think he made a few plays when he needed to. And I've been hard on Drew, but at the same time, I root for him. He's our starting quarterback. I've said that his best traits as a player, as a quarterback, are the intangibles. That's what we've been told, the leadership, the moxie. And we can add toughness to that list of intangibles, because the kid continues to take some big shots up there, picks himself up. That wind, Joey, was brutal out there. And I mean, even DJ had a difficult time pushing the ball downfield with, you know, his kind of cannon arm. But at least with Drew, we know what we're getting. And, you know, even sitting in the stands, fans are like, well, Tommy Rees is so predictable. Here comes another run. It's like, what the hell do you want him to do? You know, I did count Drew got three balls batted down, which is frustrating. But, you know, he makes plays when he needs to. And we said this, I think, about last year's team. You know, what Drew Pine brings to the table or doesn't bring to the table kind of – at this point, Mike, it makes this team fun to watch.
Yeah,
we're figuring out a way to work with a little bit of a liability at the quarterback position. I think that game ball was just kind of a solid pat on the back from the coaching staff.
So you make a good point. So
I tried to.
My counterpart, who does like the Alabama YouTube channel at On3, when Alabama's just rolling, they're undefeated and crushing everybody, he tells me how boring it is. This is fun, though. Notre Dame losing to Marshall and Stanford, then beating Syracuse. I mean, Syracuse being a good team now, of course. And Clemson, it's fun. It's a lot to talk about. I will say on Pine, when we had that, I don't know if I can call it legendary, but it was a fun debate about Pine. Was it 2 or 3 weeks ago? Because I saw the up of North Carolina BYU. and you know, you saw things through your own eye. I think now we all just see the same thing.
Totally.
He is
totally.
What he is. He can be good, you know, given all day and maybe against some lesser competition. But these past few weeks, this is, I mean, I still think he can complete more than 50% of his passes. But you know, when you're only getting, if you're getting less than, and I'll pull up his stats here for YouTube, if you're getting less than 20 passes and you get a couple drops, you know, it's, you know, that's not helping you, and you get some passes batted down, but still, like, he just kind of is what he is. So any thoughts on that? Plus, Mike, did you have any new takeaways of him after seeing him in person?
Yes, I agree. He is what he is. And I think, again, collectively, like the fan base, I think we're all kind of rooting for him, right?
Sort of.
And Coach Reese should get a ton of credit. I mean, he was absolutely dealing in that game, dealing. So hopefully we can put the Coach Reese slander to bed. But in terms of your question there, Mike, like, is there anything that I noticed? When I got my seats, my tickets for the game, I like to be in the end zone because it kind of gives you that linebacker perspective, absolutely, right? I don't think Drew can see. I don't think he can see where he's throwing the ball often. I really don't. Like, when you sit there, we're 34 rows up in the, you know, I guess the northeast end zone, I don't think he can see, frankly. So if you are looking to add to that passing game, for my purview in that game, you have to get him outside of the pocket. Because it's like, you know, he does have time to throw. And unless he slides either way, unless he can literally see down these alleyways between your guard, tackle, et cetera, I don't think he can see. And he's doing, and like, there's some of these balls you see get batted down. I mean, the release point is like, I mean, if it didn't hit somebody's hand, it's like, I mean, there's not a lot of lift on the ball. It's just, again, back to, it is what it is. It is what it is.
Okay. All right. Let's move through some of these super chats. Milton Fan said, did Notre Dame look fast?
They looked, I would say they looked, there didn't look to be a disparity between speed whatsoever. How's that? I mean, it's different. Milton always drops a super chat. It's absolutely different watching a game on television versus watching it in real life. It looks slower in real life. There's no way around it. I mean, there's plays where Diggs had a couple plays where he bounced. It's like, man, get to the edge. But there looked to be no disparity in terms of overall team speed, which goes back to one of my opening statements, is that, man, folks, we are really starting to look the part of being like an elite team from a physicality, just body type standpoint. And I think it's only going to be more of that with Coach Freeman at the helm, you know, recruiting.
Super chat from Eric, appreciate the $9.99. He says, you can't give enough credit to Freeman this season. Could have gone off the rails after Stanford. We had Dabo shook. That's another loss for Dabo inside Notre Dame Stadium. And I think this kind of ties into Michael's comment. He said, this is referring to the postgame show. He says, Singer called a perfect Clemson. I came on there. I was like, we all picked, maybe not you, Mike, but most of us picked Clemson to win because we thought they were not who we thought they were. They were not a good football team, which is why I was so stunned. But that doesn't mean we can to discredit Notre Dame's performance in the game, but Clemson was definitely not as good as we all thought. I mean, that's not a top five team in the country. So, these two comments?
No. Yes, Clemson probably isn't as dominant of a team from a physicality standpoint, recruiting ranking standpoint, Mike, as we thought, right? Because across the board, these are all top 100 players, whatever. So they weren't as good as we thought we were, but we're obviously better than we thought we were.
Yeah.
Right. So if both things can be true at the same time,
those special teams are sustainable. Apparently it's insane how good that unit is. I've never seen anything like it. Have you?
And I'm so happy. Not the consistency of the punt blocks. I mean, I feel like a punt block is either a mental error on the punt team or it's a kind of a luck thing.
Yeah.
But this is intentional. This is schemed. And I'm so happy for Jordan Botello. And after he blocked that punt early first quarter, he got quite a bit of run at defensive end. So he got rewarded for that. And also blocking a punt up the middle, folks, is not easy. It's not. I mean, it's much easier to get a piece of one from the side. And I'm excited for Jordan Botello. I mean, just stick with it, buddy. It's like you can watch him play. He's got some pass rush kind of acumen. He's got some moves that he's working on, more so than Foskey. I mean, I think Foskey might be a better overall just athlete. But I'm excited for Jordan Botello. And, yeah, the special teams play is remarkable. I do think we need to maybe try on a new punt returner. Why not? I mean, I think Brandon Joseph's been serviceable. And, you know, Salerno did it in years past, but it's
like, anyone come to mind?
I mean, maybe a Tyree type. I mean, I'm not at practice.
Yeah.
Why not? Let's try another one on for size. That's like the one kind of missing element to our special teams unit is we don't really have a threat back there. And again, I'm not knocking Brandon Joseph, but I think it'd be fun to try somebody else out.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like someone's asking Tobias, like I think if it's like a game of Madden, it's just like, okay, you just put anyone back there, but this isn't Madden. It's like, can that person catch the ball? Like, do they have good eyesight? You know, like, I don't know. Can they catch
punts? Well, it's a difference between, like, as a returner, Tobias provides, like, a lot of size. But so it's like you want a guy that's, to me, somewhat thickly built, that's hard to tackle in the open space. I mean, that's a difficult tackle to make. Tobias has a lot of hitting surface for a guy that's 6'4", 6'5".
Kyron was great punt returner.
Kyron, well, that's what I'm saying. Like, you body type wise, you almost look at Tyree as a candidate. But I don't know. The coaches will figure it out. But either way, not a huge glaring issue. Just something I put in my notes watching the game.
Yeah. Tim McCarthy with a 10. Love the show. Great win. What's everyone drinking tonight? Cheers. Tequila. This is a lot of. No, this is water. did the Netflix Stranger Things experience? It's kind of cheesy. That's my cup. But yeah. It was in Atlanta. The Stranger Things had this like experience thing where you go through these different rooms and there's actors. Yeah, it was kind of fun. It's kind of corny.
Oh, nice. Yeah. They lost me after the first season, but it was a good show.
There you go. All right, Tim, appreciate the 10. We're going to go to one more super chat and then I'll take a quick break. Joey says Ben Morrison is going to be a beast at DB. Joey, I will even raise you when I think he already is a beast. I mean, physically, he's not, right? He's a freshman. He's a little slim, but the dude's got it. He's got a great bloodline. His dad was, you know, played in the NFL for Washington and was a part of a great Arizona defense, the Desert Swarm in the early 90s, and all of his siblings are D1 athletes. I mean, kid's special, and I did not foresee him being this good this early on.
I think he's been starting since week 3, but you could see, and we're just talking movement skills and I'm talking like frame. When you look at Clarence Lewis, who probably looks like more of a safety body type, and when you put like Clarence Lewis next to Benjamin Morrison, they're just completely different animals, for lack of a better word. Long arms, and he's got great feet. He's got a real good feel for the game. I did put a note in there about Cam Hart. He was rotating in and out with Mickey throughout the course of the game. Played his ass off the first couple of series Cam did. I wonder if Cam doesn't feel like – because we had pretty high hopes for Cam coming into the season based off of how well he played last year. I wonder if Cam isn't developing like a healthy maybe envy of – Benjamin's performance and the shine that Benjamin's getting now. So I'm excited to see maybe how Cam plays in like a USC matchup where he can maybe get some of that spotlight back on him and kind of return to form. So, but between looking at Cam Hart and Benjamin Morrison, I mean, that's what modern corners look like. That's your Sauce Gardner.
There you go. All right. We're going to take just a moment here and hear from one of our sponsors, which is Barb Stevenson. And if you are looking for that perfect gift for the Notre Dame fan in your life, or maybe yourself, look no further than the beautiful artwork of Barb Stevenson, who lives near the university and has been inspired to create pen and inks of the iconic buildings throughout Notre Dame's campus. In fact, she's even been commissioned by the University of Notre Dame many times to create artwork of those classic buildings to give as special gifts. And she now has a selection of 4 Notre Dame limited pen and ink prints she is offering to our listeners here at Blue and Gold. What makes each pen and ink print so unique and one of a kind is the hand-painted metallic gold she applies to each one. They are simply stunning. Visit her website, barbstevenson.com, to purchase, or call 574-210-8388. Order now and receive free shipping anywhere in the continental United States. Order today, barbstevenson.com. And that is the last name, Stevenson, is spelled Stephenson. So barbstevenson.com. All right. Appreciate Barb and her support, of course, of Blue and Gold. Mike, we're going to go back to some super chats. Let's see. Jay Prue says, no, Singer, losing to Marshall and Stanford's not fun. No, but our two biggest shows this year, our three biggest shows are Marshall, Stanford, and Clemson. So exciting maybe is the word, not fun. If I use the word fun, I'm sorry. It was more of exciting or interesting, I will say. Joey's just loading up the super chats. He says 3 games left to Steve Angeli get playing time or possibly start against Boston College. No, no, no. If he's going to be in the mix next year, why not get him some experience? Sure. But, you know, it's like – coaches who are focusing on next year are looking for a job, you know, Mike. I mean, you got to focus on the here and now, win as many games as you can.
Yeah, I think I would agree with you. I don't think we'll see Angeli, but I would like to see us rolling in some different bodies at the interior line specifically. I really would. Patterson's gone. I don't pretend to know the eligibility of Lug and Corral, but just so I'm thinking, you might look it up as I walk this out, but Blake Fisher and Joe Ald are incredible players. I mean, like, Joe Ald's so good, dude. It's like, and I think Blake's a little bit more physically imposing than Joe, but Joe's like just such a tactician, just mirroring people. Like, he's exceptional. And it's like, what a bright spot looking into next season. But I don't want to go through the growing pains that we've gone through the last 2 seasons, specifically with the interior line being leaky. It's like, what if we could just hit the ground running with our starting unit and having some experience interior wise when we lose some of these guys next season? Right, Mike? What did you look up the eligibility?
Zeke, sorry, I was looking at something else when you ask me that. Yeah, Zeke's coming back. I think YouTube folks are coming back, are commenting that as well. And I have the scholarship chart.
They've both been there so long. Forgive me if I, you know, between Lug and Zeke.
Yep. So you got Lug is the only guy running out of eligibility. I guess Patterson can even come back, but that's hard to
for
see
sure
happening.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's it's pretty young group.
Yeah, so I think we might have the occasion against BC or against Navy to roll in some younger kids just to get them some game experience. And I would like to see that because I think that's the only unit that we don't rotate at all. Not to say that there's a need whatsoever, but it's just, again, to give us a slight head start going into next season. But I don't believe we'll see Angeli. I don't.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think that scholarship chart might need to be, I mean, updated after next year. I think Correll has those COVID years. Who has an extra year of eligibility? It's all screwy. Yeah.
Well, if you don't know, I don't know. Yeah, I'm with you.
Okay. Yeah, Joey, again, asking about special teams. He says it's kind of playing Beamer ball. If you don't have an explosive passing game and you're kind of relying on, the good old run game and defense, adding some special teams flair it's not bad.
Yeah, it's absolutely an equalizer. And Coach O'Leary's special teams coach, right? So I know he's got
Mason.
Sorry, Mason. Yeah, so he's got a relationship with Coach Freeman.
Cincinnati, you know, yeah.
Sort of outside of the team dynamic. Yeah, I believe that they're friends. And I feel like in terms of, like, there's definitely a corollary between sort of the turnaround of the season, Freeman taking more ownership in terms of like the sideline demeanor, et cetera, and the rise of the special teams. There was almost, you could almost kind of create a narrative, Mike, where Freeman had his back against the wall and his boy Mason somewhat threw him a life raft, right? There's a degree of that here, and I'm for it. Absolutely.
Love it.
And that's I mean, the special teams, man. I mean, we had some good special teams, I feel like, when I was there, and it's truly.
Did you play much special teams?
I did, yeah. My first 2 years, that's all I did was special teams. And it's a buy-in thing, man. I mean, I can remember Urban Meyer was the wide receivers coach when I was a true freshman, and his special teams unit was the kick return. And I can remember like that Nebraska game when we ran that kickback. Dude was crying in the on-field huddle. Like, and he was just like, we can do this. Like, I mean, it was an emotional thing. So that's what special teams is. It's, again, letting it hang. You have to have that buy-in. And I think Coach Mason's the perfect person to deliver that message and get that buy-in.
And Joey asked how many punts were blocked under Pullian. Wish Lou Samoji were with us. He would know. But
there you go.
I mean, I think having like two block punts a year is one or two is probably normal, right? That's probably your average. If someone in the chat knows, let me know. But six in a season is, I don't know if there's a award at the end of the year for the best special teams unit, but it really should be Notre Dame. Matt, are you asking me a question? Why would you ask me a question? This is the Mike Goolsby show. Thoughts on Joe Wilkins entering the portal? Maybe Matt's asking this because he knows how I've been a big Joe Wilkins fan. I'm bummed that he just couldn't stay healthy and get a good opportunity to get into the Notre Dame offense. Cause and it was really just practice clips that we got to see. And then the Duke game in 2020, that's really it that we've been able to see of him. And I just thought he always looked good, but just never have been able to get consistent playing time, stay healthy. Do you have any thoughts on this real quick, Mike?
Well, we got to, when we had that ex-player, current player dinner during the spring when Coach Freeman threw up the bat signal for ex-players to come back. I actually sat with Joe at our table. And he's he's a sweetheart of a kid. And I'll say this about transferring, like in any relationship, like your relationship with the program, romantic relationship, work relationship, it's like sometimes it's more difficult to leave than it is to actually stay. So like Jacob Lacey transferred out, like this happens with big time football. So in a way it's a sign of the times, but like my heart goes out to Joe. I wish him luck. I know it's not an easy thing to do and hopefully he finds a landing spot, but when you create this level of competition that, you know, being a big time program sort of requires, this is the byproduct, and it is what it is. And I wish him well. Great kid.
I mean, all the top programs have all these kids transfers out. 4 or 5 star kids leave all the time because they're not playing. So, I mean, yeah, I think this is just college football these days. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Keith says big plays last year against Florida State. He had that touchdown reception. That was a thing of beauty. Absolutely. Chief Brody, he was just a doll of a guy, just with such great positivity in the YouTube chat. Appreciate it. He says Angela, he means Angeli. That was a typo on his part, I'll add. This is something that's very common, Mike. Chief's comment. Well, can't Steve just hand the ball off and throw it 3 yards to Michael Mayer? So any thoughts on just that general sentiment of, well, can't Angeli just do what Pine can do? Like, why not give him a chance?
I agree with Chief here. I mean, I don't want to start talking out of both sides of my mouth, because again, if we're going to do that scan offense, yeah, you probably could insert Angeli if the coach is going to tell him what play to run in 70% of the time he's handing the ball off. I do think you can do it, but why? I mean, we're winning. We've established a brand of football in terms of great defense, power run game. I don't think you want to upset the apple cart right now. I really think that's what it comes down to. I didn't quite know what to make of that. Coach Reese left the booth early, came down, kind of gave Drew a big chest bump on the field. They hugged it out. And there's something there, you know, because it's not like Drew won us the game or did anything really remarkable. But there's a lot of things that like constitute a team. There's a lot of things that make it up. And I can remember back going back to the Ohio State game in terms of us breaking in Tyler Buchner. And it was like, you know, the ask of the rest of the unit, the rest of the team was like, elevate your play to support Tyler as he gets his bearings. And it seems as though the rest of the team is doing that for Drew. The rest of the team is elevating their play to support their buddy who's doing his best, you know? And I think as us as a fan base, I think we all kind of feel the same. So yes, I do think Angeli can do it, but I don't see the point in upsetting the team dynamic and the locker room dynamic at this point. I really don't.
You know, I make the YouTube thumbnails, right? And I chose this one for the Goolsby Show just because, like, you know, I mean, you mentioned the Reese and Pine in their kind of moment. I mean, just look at this. I thought this was perfect. Love putting emotion into these YouTube thumbnails and just find you someone who looks at you like Freeman is looking at Drew Pine.
In this, I think as I was driving, I was driving home just mulling over talking points for this show. And you saw Coach Freeman on the field doing his post-game interview, just surrounded in that just sea of people. And I was like, what's one word to describe this win? And like Coach Freeman's like post-game demeanor and everything. And you saw all the pictures of Audric Estime, you know, on the shoulders of the fans. It's like, it's joy, dude. It's just pure joy. And it's like, I don't think you would ever get that with Kelly, like just joy. You know, maybe there's satisfaction that we won or whatever, but I don't know what to make of that. But I think Freeman's doing a hell of a job. I think he's doing a hell of a job, and this is fun to watch this continue to unfold.
Speaking of doing a hell of a job, Mike Goolsby with the Mike Goolsby Show. And guys, it took me a long time to come up with that name. Let me tell you, it was much.
Yeah, we went back and forth, a lot of back and forth.
I'm pretty sure just one day it was just titled the Mike Goolsby Show, and you're like,
oh, I don't think I was even asked what to title it.
You were. Shauna says, hey, new subscriber here in Chicago. Love the show, Shauna. We love you. Appreciate the 333. Absolutely.
Tremendous.
So I want to say we had another comment. Yeah, let's talk about the linebackers. Marist and Bertrand specifically. And I want to say Freeman in his presser on Monday said they're playing so much nickel, so Kaiser wasn't really getting a ton of snaps. Thoughts on these defensive players.
Yeah, I'm glad we brought that up. I'm glad this was brought up. So JD's best game that I've ever seen him play, the stats reflect that. I'd be off the top of my head, I can't really see on my phone, but it was like 12 tackles, 2 for loss, sack, and I think he had 9 solos, right? Is that accurate?
That's precisely.
So not as good of a game as I had the last time we knocked off a top 10 team undefeated at home, you know, which Tim's brought up. I think I had 14 tackles and a couple for loss. Didn't have a sack, though. But yeah, JD played fantastic, and he played confident. No anxiety in his body language whatsoever, and it really, really shined through on his tackling, just how decisive he was and confident he was. No false steps. I'm still blown away at how often we blitz these guys. And there was a couple chunk plays where they got us up the middle, but that was just poor timing on a blitz, or just the right run call versus the wrong blitz. But JD played great. Another note to that, in previous games, it seems like our defensive line has gotten penetration, tried to make plays, almost like you saw what Clemson's D-line was doing, where they're trying to get off blocks and trying to make plays, whereas is this game it really felt like, and I only rewatched it once, but it really felt like the defensive line did a better job of just piecing up offensive linemen, and we kind of let our linebackers run. Whereas like they weren't getting penetration and widening gaps or anything like that. Marist flashed a couple times. boy, does he look good when you watch the game live. As just violent as he is and as explosive as he is. And if there's one pointer I could give to Maris, it's just to drop his weight a little bit more. He tends to play straight legged, and I think that's why he misses so many tackles. He doesn't kind of, again, drop his weight to come down. But, Kizer got in there a little bit, but we didn't rotate. I mean, it was JD and Maris all game. You didn't see any Prince. You saw a little bit of Kizer there at the end, which I'm more of a fan of, and I know JD would say the same. And also, Zach Collinsworth, his name is JD Bertrand, not JT. These NBC guys have been screwing up names, so until they get names right, I'm going to start calling Jack Zach, Zach Collinsworth.
That's perfect.
Get the name. All this whole game was JT Bertrand, JT Bertrand. It's like, it's JD, bud. You know, you're making, yeah. Anyways, but yeah, kudos to JD. I'm hard on JD, but I've said before, I feel like Mike, he's my spirit animal. I love the way that kid plays. And if, Benjamin Morrison didn't, if he was your MVP on defense, JD was, your 1B, as it were.
Yeah.
So I'm proud of him. I'm proud of him. He played great.
Love it. Chief Brody says, don't know for putting in or putting up with my attitude today. Just teasing you. But I do appreciate the two. Gary dropped a super chat. Appreciate that as well. Please let me know if you have a comment or something you want to ask to Mr. Goolsby. Mike, did you talk about Chris Tyree yet and his usage in the game? I know that was on your notes of things you want to talk about. Did we discuss that?
Yeah. Later? Yeah. So, and I think you were talking about this with Tim. I caught a little bit of your all show.
Yeah, we talked about him.
In terms of like his, I've always said I think Chris will be a nice little NFL player, like an Austin Eckler kind of light.
Maybe that's where I get the idea.
Yeah, probably so, just like everything else. But I think he, it was like perfect usage. Just a couple swing passes to him, get him out in space. And that's what he is. That's what he is. He's a – not that – say calling him a gadget guy might kind of carries a negative connotation. I wouldn't call him a gadget guy per se, but he's not a true running back as we know it. So, yeah, he's a mismatch guy. Get him out in space. Use more 22 personnel, which I started calling for in the offseason, before the season even kicked off, because it's like – if you put him in the backfield, you put a linebacker on him in coverage, it's a mismatch. You put him a safety against him, it's kind of a mismatch. If you put a linebacker on him, you're walking somebody out of the box. We hammered inside with Estime. It really feels like, and we said this last week or started to touch on it, it feels like Coach Reese is really starting to get his arms around the best way to utilize his players and just their kind of inherent skill sets. And like same would go with like Jaden Thomas. I love the way Coach Reese is using him as kind of a move guy, a blocking sort of semi-attached tight end, H-back-ish type piece. Kudos to Tyree for having a nice little game. And that's all we want from him. If he give you 50 yards of offense on unlimited touches, what more could you ask? Because that's how he'll be utilized in the NFL.
Quick thought, and then I want to move to a couple of super chats. One, my thought is, like, the term game manager is kind of seen as a negative thing, but it's not meant to be a negative thing. It's like Pine won offensive MVP from Freeman for the game because he just kind of managed things, moved things along, no pre-snap penalties, something that fans, us common folk, don't think about. But that's, something that you only notice when it goes wrong. Like, that's an important thing, right? Same with gadget guy. Like, I think that's a compliment because you can be used in so many different roles. You're going to put, is Audric Estime catching a lot of passes in the slot or a punt return? Like, Tyree can do just so many different things. Versatile maybe is a nicer thing than, maybe looked on more favorably.
Yeah, gadget guys got a negative connotation. The Swiss Army knife is more of a positive.
I just can't you just see him playing, in a Tom Brady, in one of those Patriot teams and just being all over the field. Can you just
just a check down guy. And the other thing too, I've seen with the running game in general, and I would lump Tyree into this, a little bit more stretch cutback type stuff we saw this year. We had this week rather stretch cutback, downhill bounce. the timing of the running game is like fully synced up now. The spacing and the timing of things, and this is the end result. You rushed for, you know, whatever it was, 250 plus yards. But yeah, I can absolutely, I think whether it's Chris Tyree and he's coming back, or, you know, he can come back. Yeah. I don't know if he'll be a, I don't even know if he'll be a draft pick guy, but he's the type of guy that'll, he'll run a 4.3 something at his pro day, and he'll look great catching the ball, and he'll make an NFL team and have a nice little career. There's very little doubt in my mind that that's the case.
It's kind of the same things I was saying about Avery Davis. But yeah, that it's just unfortunate that Avery has battled so many injuries, and probably, I don't know if he plays football again, but as we're talking about,
he'll have time. I mean, he tore his ACL, Mike, in such a, in, at a point in time where he can rehab and come back
seventh
for
year?
A workout. No, I'm saying if you wanted to leave and go to the league, he should be healed up and healthy by the time, you know, the offseason comes around to go run.
2017 class, which is the same year like Tua was in, you know, like that was the same year as like Tua Tagovailoa. So it's in Trevor Lawrence, I think. So it's like, yeah, crazy. Just how long he's been around. Gary with the super chat, appreciate it. He says, long time fan, love the show. What's the Navy game look like, Mr. Goolsby? I think Navy's, they're pretty bad this year. Notre Dame's, I think, 19-point favorite right now. What do you think, Mike?
The only cause for alarm's too strong a word. Cause for concern is the lack of experience on the defensive staff in terms of like defending a triple option. So like Al Golden's recent history has been in the NFL, and obviously they don't run it there. I saw Notre Dame struggle with the, I think Kelly early in his tenure lost to Navy, and it was because Greg Madison wasn't on the defensive staff anymore. And Greg Madison was there under Davey, was there under Willingham, and dude knew how to play the option. So that's a little bit of a concern, just in terms of like the experience of how do you prepare and how do you play against the option. Another thing is our linebackers haven't been great and haven't been consistent in terms of filling gaps throughout the course of the season. That's why I think Coach Golden blitzes them as often as he does. But they're a handful, dude. They're a handful. It's a great game to get hurt in because there's so much cut blocking going on. That's just one of those things where get in and get out. Do we cover by 19? I'd say probably not. But I think we win handily.
Our YouTube show between you and all of our content between you and Hyde. I love your guys' sayings, right? Tim, certain, it's, he says chit-chat all the time. No one else in my
life. That
guy
must say chit-chat in his sleep.
He also always loves saying, and I know Tim's listening to this, the guy is the biggest Notre Dame junkie I know. So he listens to everything we do and watches all of our videos. So Tim will say, just win by one. Just win by, I'm sure that's what Tim's thinking. And Tim, when you watch this, let me know. If for Navy, you're just thinking, just win by one, just get out of there, just win the game.
But they'll come to play. I mean, they will take it as a personal challenge, and they will absolutely play hard for four quarters. I've played against them multiple times. But that game for us is just get in and get out with a win.
I'm going to push back on you a little bit with the inexperience against the triple option because Al Golden's so old that he probably played against it. He was, coached at Miami, played against Tech, coached at Temple. I'm sure they played Navy. And then this Notre Dame team plays Navy every year. So they have that experience. I mean, I think it was 34-6 last year. I never even watched that game, by the way. I was in Key West at a bachelor party. So that game, there's one other game I haven't watched since I started working at Blue and Gold. That's not important, though. This is where my mind goes. I just kind of go off the rails. But, so, I don't know. I think they'll beat the crap out of them, personally. John, I really do. I think, dude, Notre Dame is just so much better. Like, yeah, if the linebackers, maybe. But it's like, dude, I don't know. I think this defensive line is just going to tear them up. But.
Well, you'd be a great in-game, commentator, Mike,
Oh, I
dude. Hey, we're here for Notre Dame versus Navy. Go ahead and change the channel. This is going to be a blowout, right?
That's fantastic. Yeah. All right. Let's put us in the booth of the Navy game. We can. That's on ABC. I'm going to say the NBC guys can bring us in instead of Zach Collinsworth and Jerry Garrett. There you go. All right, John, appreciate the kind words.
Well, it'd be Mason Garrett, to be fair, but go ahead.
I couldn't think of anything around with Jason. So, yeah,
that's there right. You go. Mason Garrett. Well, I'm here.
Okie dokie. Snowman says Tennessee, Alabama, Clemson all lost.
Well, don't just blow over that super chat. He said it's the most fun Notre Dame show to watch.
Is that what it said? Fun? Really?
I believe so.
Fun?
So, yeah, we try to make it fun. There's a lot. Yeah. Shoot, there's a lot of Notre Dame content out there.
We try to
make it fun. At least I do.
I mean, just look at our thumbnails, all the fun things. We published a video with Patrick and Tyler talking post game, and I always will pick the thumbnail based on like a screen grab of them talking. It took me a good 20 minutes to find this one of just them smiling, both smiling at the same time. I'm trying to bring out emotion, you know, emotion joy in the thumbnails and our videos, just interesting. You know, outside of the Notre Dame official YouTube channel, we're the biggest. You know, we're the biggest. We're the best. So yeah, we're glad to
smash that like button.
Let's get to 1,000. Can we get to 1,000 likes on this? Should have said that much earlier in the show. But yeah, let's get to 1,000 likes. We got 1,800. We got 814 people live with us right now. So just hit the thumbs up button. Support us. We would love that. Yeah. So Snowman says Tennessee, Alabama, and Clemson all lost on the same day. Thoughts on that, Mike? You kind of touched on that a little bit earlier.
Yeah. It was one of the first things I talked about, Snowman. College football is absolutely cyclical in terms of teams are up for a decade and then they're down and then they're up and then they're down. So Notre Dame's under Coach Kelly, to his credit, I mean, there was absolutely some down years, but I feel like we've always kind of hung around. You know, we've always been relevant because we're Notre Dame, but yeah, Bama losing twice is unheard of. I still think Tennessee's star is kind of on the rise. Again, Bama's lost twice, but I go back to Clemson losing to us in the fashion that they did. And I'm big on like the eyeball test. And I'm just telling you, Snowman, and anybody else that's listening, when you look at us physically on the field in our pads and versus what Clemson looks like, it's almost like if you bet. You ever been to the horse races, Mike?
Yes.
No.
As a kid, I went to one. Okay. Yeah. There you go.
So like sometimes you can watch the horses walk out of the stalls like on their way to the track, and I know nothing about horse racing. I hope it stays that way. But you know, you make a bet just based off the look of the horse, the color of the horse, whatever. But I'm telling you, our horses look better, substantially better than Clemson. I still think there's some spots. Quarterback, obviously, we need to find one and develop one. I still think interior defensive line, although we need more Gabe Rubio types, and then a little bit more, you know, special athlete at the wide receiver position. But
it's not far off, dude.
I'm telling you, it's not far off. So to go back to the cyclical thing, if some of these teams start to slide, maybe Notre Dame slides right in and replaces a Clemson in terms of the elites of college football, based off of what I saw, the way the game played out, and what I saw based off the eyeball test, like Brian Brise, you know, their defensive tackle, Mike, his body hasn't changed since high school.
Yeah.
He's a slop dumpy gut, no hamstring. Like, dude doesn't look like he spends any time in the weight room. He's gifted in terms of his quickness and all that, but he looks sloppy. You know, we don't look like that.
All right, Mike. You got like 30 seconds on this one. Why don't more teams run the triple option super 199 from Milton Fan here?
It's probably not sexy. It'd be impossible to recruit. I mean, you don't really see it at the high school level. And triple option, the remnants that you see of it, it's just an equalizer in terms of like you looked at Syracuse's nose tackle who was 5'11", 260. I mean, that's a Navy Air Force team, Service Academy team kind of across the board at those line positions. So they can't compete against a 6'8", 310-pound kid like Joe Walt. They can't recruit those kids. But, yeah, it's not sexy. And it's not transferable to the NFL. Ask me why, I don't know. But it is what it is. I appreciate it. I hate playing against it, but it's – I really appreciate the discipline that it takes to execute a scheme like that.
Yeah, try being a receiver and playing a triple option. I will say Demaryius Thomas, Georgia Tech. Yeah, he played in one NFL.
Calvin Johnson played in one.
Yeah. See, I grew up a Tech fan. I was trying to remember if his latter stage – I think it was just 1 year that he was in that triple option. Would have been like 08, 09, one of those years. But, yeah, grew up a diehard. I cried.
R.I.P., dude. R.I.P. Demaryius Thomas, by the way. R.I.P., man. Shit.
Damn. Forgot about that. All right. Moving along. I love this comment. I love when people say, I disagree with you, Mike, in the YouTube comments. I'm like, I don't know which Mike you're talking about. So this was funny. I like Mike, but not Mike. I agree, Crystal. I agree. I thought this was funny. How much of a super chat do we need to join the Mike Goolsby show 30-second cameo? How much money? Do you want to – this looks like Tyler Buckner's little brother. Do you want to invite Tyler Buckner's little brother on the show, Mike?
I can't see that close. Oh, I see. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe next season. We play along, Alexander, we think of ideas all the time in terms of like how to grow the show, different elements to add. I mean, we could do a live stream watching the game. Like, you know, you'd have the YouTube show on the background while you're watching an ABC, NBC broadcast. If that's something we could do. But Alexander, there's a lot of liability, dude. So if we do it live, you know, I don't know if you're going to come on the screen butt naked. I don't know what's going to come out of your mouth. I don't know what's going to come out of my mouth, Alexander, when we do these live, much less yours. So there's a little bit of a liability factor.
Yeah. There's the live watch alongs I'm intrigued with, but it's just like I watch all the games streamed. I have Peacock and I have my father-in-law's cable login. So I'm like 2 minutes behind everything. You know, when it was on ESPN, so I was like, I don't know how all that would work, because we all got to be watching the same thing at the same time. Now, if we were together, you know, it'd be pretty cool.
Well, then we'd actually meet.
Isn't that crazy? Notre Dame needs to recruit more guys in your area. I'll fly my ass out there. Be happy to.
Well, I got a kid that's got 5 Power 5 offers, and I know Notre Dame follows him on Twitter, and he qualifies academically. 24? He's a 2024. Caleb Pyfrom. He's a 3-star. Dad's 6'10". Offensive lineman. Yeah, he just started taking football seriously, you know, kind of knowing that that was his future. I think he thought he was going to be a hooper until he woke up one day, and he's 6'6", 300 pounds. But, yeah, he's raw, but he's got a lot of traits.
All right, we do have some more like actual items to get to. But you guys are just cracking me up. Tim says, where's the GoFundMe page for the T-shirts? T-shirts are another one of those ideas that we just talk about, but we don't do much past an actual follow-up. We just do this show. Just, you know, doing the show is is enough for us.
I'm going to do the team. I'm going to do the T-shirts. I'm convinced. I'm going to try. And I feel like I do have like a framework of how to pull it off, Tim, so stay tuned.
I love it. I'll wear it every single day. Every single day.
What else we got to get to?
I don't know if I made a pass at Goolsby, Jay Prue, but I don't know. It's Monday, so.
I didn't pick that up.
If Notre Dame wins out, do they go to a Big Six bowl game? I think so.
Yeah, I would think so too. I would think so too. In terms of the way, gosh, I wish. What is it about these teams, though, after they play us, they fall off a cliff, right? Yeah, I'm talking – I mean, I guess, you know, Syracuse, 3 straight losses, BYU's kind of a dump – turned into a bit of a dumpster fire. We do have some nice wins. It's all going to come down to – I mean, I could easily see us beating USC in the same fashion we beat Clemson.
Sure.
I really can.
I don't think they've been invincible. I mean, they lost to Utah. I can't tell you I've watched a lick of Pac-12 football this year, but
I mean, that's another kind of like culture program, and they do recruit. They've got like they got a fun quarterback to watch, but I mean, if that defense, and I know Tim talked about this, but like this was the first game that I've seen under Freeman's tenure, save for the first half of the Ohio State game, where the defense played the way that you should play defense, and flying to the ball like that, feeding off each other's energy. It's fun. It's fun to do, and that's where turnovers are created. So we've got a nice formula here, and yeah, I could absolutely see us winning out. And then, you know, we'll see, but I'm still that kind of game by game, take it one game at a time guy.
Notre Dame Clemson Cotton Bowl, or excuse me, Notre Dame LSU Cotton Bowl. There you go.
Yeah. I think some people would tune in to watch that.
Mike, did you get to see the little right before halftime, little skirmish deal?
I did. Actually, it happened happened right in front of us. All right,
before you comment, for folks, maybe who are with us live, cause we addressed this very early in the show. We did not plan to match, just kind of happened. And please do hit the thumbs up on this YouTube video. We would really appreciate that as well. But yes, Mike, so you got to see that. What,
it'd be funnier if I shaved the rest of my beard.
I did shave like 2 hours ago. But yeah, so thoughts on what you saw, and did you kind of like the reaction from Notre Dame?
Well, Bill, this is fun to talk about. So I like the fact that Adam Eola was talking shit, and he had it coming, right? In terms of like the Clemson guy shoving him, he kind of had it coming because he was chirping, right? So I like the fact that he was talking shit going into halftime. I like the flop job by Adam Eola. When I was watching it and when I watched back on the television broadcast, I wish they'd mixed it up a little bit more. I feel like it got broken up too quickly for my taste. For my taste, I wish there was a little bit more of just nose to nose, but it was absolutely a great way to go into halftime, because I can only imagine what that locker room was like, you know, after something like that. I love it. I love stuff like that. I love it. I just wish there was a little bit more face-to-face, you know, jaw-jacking. Building off of that, Mike,
okay,
like when Drew Pine, you know, keeps like these late hits and these things like that. And our offensive line does a great job in pass protection, all these stuff. But like when these late hits and things come out, I'd like to see a little bit more of a reaction from the offensive line to stick up for their guy. You know, and it doesn't need to be worth a penalty, but I do want those guys to stick up for their quarterback in those instances, similar to like what we saw before the half. I'd love to see a little bit more of that.
Final word, Goolsby, before we get out of here.
I think that the ACC.
Yeah, the rest of the season too.
Say that one more time.
Just kind of thoughts on, you know, reflection on the win and kind of what's next from here.
Again, I'm in awe of the performance. I think that Clemson is probably on the downslope.
Sure.
I really do. I was proud of the fan engagement at the night game. I do think that say that one more time.
No sleepy environment. And what about the song choices, Mike? I know that's very important to you.
Song choices, I still have a major beef with. And so we drove to the game. So I was talking to my buddy Tim on the drive back. I was like, and this is me being an asshole, but I'm like, you know, the light show thing. I was like, was it just me, or is that like, it's disjointed? Like they'll play, you know, 6 bars of a song and then they transition into another song, and it just seemed a little disjointed. Like I like the overall effort and the creativity, but I'm not a fan of like the Venga Boys, and there's, you know, we're playing songs that were popular 16 years ago. It's a little like, it's slightly awkward, like the light show thing. But I do think that the fans showed up. I think the team gave them reason to. I think that just going through my notes here, I think that the ACC is not very good. I mean, what are we, 27-0 or whatever, 37 or 27-0 in the ACC? I saw that somewhere online. And then this, the recruiting weekend is the only other thing that we didn't touch on that I put in my notes. Like we had 60 recruits there, and I'm just telling you, like moments like this, in a lot of ways, it's kind of like what life is about. And like, this is what football is about. And not only like, do you have a group of kids that are committed to play to Notre Dame, play at Notre Dame, you got some 2024 kids that are still making up their minds. But this is a type of thing where you take like a Drake Bowen and a Peyton Bowen and whoever else was there that's currently committed to school. And this is when they commit to something bigger than just going to play at Notre Dame. Like, this is like, they're like, guys, let's win a MF and national championship. I mean, this is when that seed kind of gets planted in those youngsters' mind, like an influential experience like this. So this is fun that so many kids got a chance to witness something like that. So
the song choice is a little awkward. Notre Dame's a little awkward. So yeah, it works out.
Well, yeah, they do stuff during the game where they'll talk about like, you know, academic, like up on the Jumbotron, they'll talk about like an academic pursuit or like a charity mission or whatever. And it's like, I full on like respect it, but bro, we're, like, this is a big time football game.
That juxtaposed with the Mo Bamba song.
Awkward. It's awkward. And it's like, I know we're like a high academic institution, no doubt, but like, this isn't the place or time. Maybe before the game, you know, have it like running like a trailer at a movie theater, right? But don't interrupt the movie to show me like it's slightly awkward. Slightly awkward.
All right, Mike, you can answer this one with two letters. LSU or ND in a bowl game?
I would say, without doing any research, Milton, I would say Notre Dame would, for the same reason I thought they'd beat Clemson. It's just more of a culture piece thing. I can't quantify why they would win, but I just think that they would win in terms of going after their ex-head coach. And like I said, I talked about the joy that seems to be sort of attached to Freeman. And I genuinely think the fan base is like rooting for him. I think that they like him.
Yeah.
And yeah, I would say that we would beat LSU.
Yep. Mr. Goolsby, fantastic work tonight. This was one of your best performances.
Do you just make a pass at me, Mike?
I think the Tennessee game was your number one. Maybe this is number two. So
nice, man. Well, I appreciate that. Let's again smash that like button and then stay tuned, folks. We got stuff coming.
Yeah, there you go. All right. So what's tonight? Monday? We got Hyde Show Wednesday night, Singer recruiting show, Thursday, 1 p.m. Eastern time, post game show. Goolsby, Sunday, next Sunday show.
I'll be here.
Back to our regular Sunday spot. Yeah, we appreciate everybody. You all have been fantastic. YouTube Live folks, seriously, I love reading the chat and laughing. And folks watching back on YouTube, I read all of your comments because we get so many spam comments, so I have to delete all those. So I see everything. And for podcast audience, I always recommend you to move over to the YouTube sphere so you can – we have a lot of people who will say, hey, I was listening to you guys on the podcast and then enjoyed it so much more on YouTube because I got to see the facial expressions and anytime Goolsby makes a comment at a specific quarterback and how I'm, you know, I don't know. You guys can explain what my reaction is better than I can. So, you know.
No, I watched that when I watched after the Syracuse game, I watched it back and your reaction to some of the things I was saying. It literally made me laugh out loud.
There you go. So not only is it excellent insight from a goat of Notre Dame football, you know, you get to laugh a little bit too. Milton fan. Kill me, Milton fan. You've been watching all show and now you're dropping your super chats like this. What do you got?
Georgia D-line versus ND O-line. Who's your money on? I haven't seen enough of Georgia play, but I haven't to make an educated answer. I lean on Notre Dame's. I mean, so Milton, real quick, drop another super chat.
No, please don't.
Who's D-line is better, Georgia's or Clemson? So prior to this last game by Clemson, who do you think had a better D-line, Georgia or Clemson? So there's, yeah, that should help you out with an answer. But yeah, I have all the confidence in the world in our O-line.
Bobby, your comment here is killing me. No, we did not. Total coincidence. Okay. All right. I'm out of here, folks. Goolsby, fantastic work. Appreciate
Thanks, Mike.
Everyone listening and watching. We'll catch you guys next time.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.